Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
So then I was telling him, I was like, I really like the premise of your movie. I mean, I think the storylines for the antagonist and the protagonist are very solid. Mm-hmm. I like the dialogue. I like the settings for the scenes that you've storyboarded out and all that stuff. But I have two words for you. Lightsaber. And it changed everything.
What'd he say?
He was like, what's a lightsaber? And I was like, listen, first of all, you can't use swords. Everybody use swords, right? You need something different, something that someone's never used before. Are you looking to just make money, or are you looking to win an Academy Award? Yeah. Because lightsabers takes you to the next level. I said, picture it like a flashlight. You hit the button, and instead of a beam of light, it's harnessed energy from light that stays mm-hmm. in kind of the shape of a blade, and it's mm-hmm. the most fierce cutting mechanism and tool known to man up to that point. This is the future. It's all imagination. Why are you going to use a fucking sword? Yeah. And you know what? That year, George Lucas won an Academy Award for Star Wars for Best New Weapon in a Space Movie. So...
And guess what? You literally brought him the most gangster weapon in the 21st century. Because even till today, mocked as it will, mocked all you want, is still not feasible. It's still such a highly technical situation that we still don't have the power to make a real lightsaber.
That's when you know you have a great imagination. When you create something in your mind that can't be made mm-hmm. in real life. Even 30, 40, 50 years
yeah.
down the road, no one's come up with a way to make that thing that you made up in your brain. That's a good imagination.
Man, I'll tell you what, for a little kid who didn't do much drugs, you really had a good noggin on you.
I mean, I was only 9, but I was ahead of my time. I knew
my toys.
I know some
9-year-olds, they got a part-time job. They're smoking a pack a day.
Yeah, but I mean in America. But it was...
Philippines is a wild place. It's the only place that got drink specials for 10 to 15 year olds.
Right, $2. $2. I don't know what the
$2 shooters is. If you're 10 to 15 years old, we're doing 2-for-1 whiskeys, and also lemon drops are $3 for all the girls.
Bring your own
for all
nipple.
The girls, 8th, 9th graders. We're doing a drinking special for all the 9th graders. Bring in your report card showing that you at least C and higher, and we're going to give you free Mai Tai.
That's the way it is. I mean, it's fun to be a kid in the Philippines. I mean, you work a lot, but also there's no real rules.
Yeah. They're just living it up over there. I mean, even their jails are fun. That's where they have the people that do all the dancing together. There's choreographed, synchronized fucking 800 people doing the same shit at one time.
Oh, out in the prison yard? Yeah.
Yeah, bro. The Philippines ain't fucking around, dude.
Even prisons are fun there. I mean, come on.
I'm not sure how much fun they really are, but...
Yeah.
But at least no matter what happens the rest of the 22 hours a day they aren't dancing. I mean, let's say they're going 4 hours a day. They still got 20 hours. We're not sure what's going on in that 20. Mm-hmm. Could be an absolute fight club happening, but for them, 4 hours, it's a fucking bliss.
There is a lot of competitive kickboxing going on, and if you are good enough, you can fight your way to freedom. They will let you free if you uh-huh. become the grand champion of all the Philippine prison system.
What a gangster-ass title that is, too.
Mm-hmm.
You're just, and you know what's even crazier is that, like, the UFC, an average UFC fighter can beat up all them guys like it's nothing. It takes away all the nostalgia of like true gangster fighting coming up from the pits to win their freedom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And even just like badass fucking like street brawler guys. Like, mm-hmm. look what happened to Kimbo. Kimbo was the most feared, the baddest ass motherfucker on the street.
Bare knuckle thugging it, dude. What a beast.
Went into UFC.
Did choke. Win some, hey, won some matches, though. Give him his due credit. Kimbo had some dubs, and he also showed a ground game. He had a few chokeouts, a couple submissions. I mean, for a fucking dude that's bald as shit to show up, do damage, and actually win a few fights in the UFC after becoming a backyard beast, taking on two dudes at once, just fucking knocking fools out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go Kimbo, dude.
But even the baddest ass of all the street brawlers, lower 30%.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is true. It's a lower 30%. That's just
it's
how it is.
Crazy.
And us in the higher 60%, we recognize that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We get it.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's just something you're born with for the most part. And then you perfect it by taking, you know, some classes at the Y.
Yep.
And then next thing you know,
you're taking karate because you got, you know, it was a Groupon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was six classes for the price of one.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, your dad bought a three-pack of classes. Now you're in there for 20 weeks. You know what I mean? You're a karate kid.
Oh, yeah.
You're a karate kid.
You're taking taekwondo because it's right next to the laundromat where your mom does laundry. So you might as well get into the sesh while you're waiting for clothes to dry.
Yeah. Hit the mat. You know what I mean? Do a little spar in. Hit the mitts.
Yeah.
Jump some rope. Go in the heavy bag. You know what I mean? Do a little groundwork. Get down there. Roll around. Do some work, even though they don't do that in taekwondo, but whatever.
Yeah, they mostly just kick in the air. But
yeah.
It's useful. I mean, you get flexible doing it.
Those two, three, four, five kicks in a row. Whap, whap. You know, that shit right there. That up top, high top shit. You know what I mean? Going for the skull. But you make it look like you're going at the body. So they go for the block. And next thing you know, they're waking up talking about, can I get a fucking 12-pack of glazed donuts? Lights out.
Some spinning back fists. That's my favorite.
You're right.
Strike,
dude.
Out there. I think even maybe the kick off of the cage when they run up the cage and come off and do the head kick, that's pretty cool. But man, just the spinning back fist is such a simple little, like, who came up with that for the very first time? Bruce Lee, maybe? Maybe it was Bruce Lee. I don't know. But whoever did, it's a fucking genius.
You got to think they did it on accident, right? And then they just fucking went with it after that. You're like, dude, I just said, fuck it. I was too far to the right of them. I just said, fuck it, instead of trying to peel back. I came around backstage, dude. I just balled her up, fucking whipped her around. Dude was out cold. It had to happen like an accident.
And then started doing it every fight. Like every time he squared off with somebody, he'd just kind of blade himself away. Be like, no, man, I don't want any. Like he's going to walk away. And then he spins around real fast. Whack! Back fist to the ear hole.
I'm telling you, the back fist, that is one of my, and I'm almost as equally impressed with when I see a really well executed back fist, but then a dude clearly sees it coming, ducks it and counters. You're like, wow. Now that fucking brain is firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, that's a dude who's playing chess, not checkers.
You're over here talking about fucking king me, and this kid's over here talking about B1 to A4, my man.
Knight to Rook4, motherfucker.
Take that right up your butt. Take the one on the end, the castle, the rook. Put it right in your butt because it's going to be the most comfy of all the pieces probably, outside of a pawn. And if you're a pawn, that's probably all you could put in there.
That's all you can fit in there. Cause
plug it up.
You have a tight ass. You're a tight ass.
You're a tight ass. Calm down.
I just was clearing out my refrigerator.
How'd that go?
Pretty gross. Pretty gross. Refrigerators,
they'll stack up, dude, quick.
I had just hunks of onions just laying out in this drawer, and they had kind of become soupy, if you will. Mm-hmm. Like it was creating its own French onion soup in my vegetable drawer. Yeah, I don't have a good nose on me. But when my lady walked in, she could still smell it. She was like, what is that? And I was like, what? She's like, what did you cook for dinner? And I was like, pulled chicken tacos. She was like, well, it smells like just a giant fart. It's this onion that was fucking aging not so well in my fucking vegetable.
I heard that onion was in there and it was holding a history class for all the other vegetables in your refrigerator.
It was
in your refrigerator.
It was so old. It doesn't think women should have the right to vote. And I was like, hey, this is 2021, my friend. You don't fucking do that here.
We'll be right back after these messages. We'll be right back, guys, after these messages. We'll be right back, guys.
That's one of those where you're like, okay.
All right. You know what?
Good for the green room. Maybe not for anything else.
Yeah. Might even want to think about cutting that one.
Might even cut it. Might even cut it right out.
9:50. 9:30.
But if anybody gets upset about it and doesn't get cut out, listen, the onion's white and it's really, really old.
Yeah.
So get it?
Yeah, I get the bit.
It wasn't a yellow onion.
Listen, it's not like you agree with it. It's just that happening a long-ass time ago, so it was a time reference.
The Vidalia onion, I think, is my favorite.
You the Vidalia, huh?
I like a good Vidalia onion. A little bit sweet.
You know, their stories are told, are passed down about your onion balm recipe that is still talked about in campfires nationwide. Actually, 2% in Canada as well as Finland and Sweden.
Mm. And it's a
but
solid
your onion
recipe.
Bomb is the real deal. Tell everybody how you do that.
You
do there.
I never saw this anywhere or anything. Just one day I was grilling, and I had an onion, and I was like, I bet it'd be good if I kind of flattened that fucking thing on the bottom so it could rest easy on the grates of the grill, and then hollowed out the top about halfway down and just spooned all that out and left a hole and just stuffed it with butter and garlic powder and garlic salt, and then just wrapped it in foil and put it on the top grate while the other food cooks. And I did it, and it was fucking delicious.
Boom! That's the sound of the onion bomb hitting your barbecue with a big fat blast for that ass.
For that ass. I mean,
and it's a great recipe. It's a very sweet, delicious side. People have to come to terms with the fact that the onion bomb is here to stay, friends.
To stay. I mean, it should really, and it goes with anything that you're grilling. That's the good part.
I saw the onion bomb at the fucking real estate office earlier, buying property, because guess what? He's here to stay. He's investing in the community. Mm-hmm. The onion bomb ain't going nowhere, friends.
He opened a savings account.
I saw the onion bomb down at the bank opening up some mutual accounts and some stuff for his kids' college funds. He has little baby onion bombs at home.
Mm-hmm. He planted perennials in his yard.
It's even more crazy that a 22-year police state detective is the creator of a unique style bomb.
Right? I mean, this was probably a bigger deal than the atom bomb. The guy that created the atom bomb, Thomas, whatever his name was.
Yeah, well, what's his name?
I don't even remember his last name. That's how not big of a deal it is compared to the onion bomb.
But ask me the last name of the person who created the onion bomb.
Who's the last name of the person who created the onion bomb, Sean?
McComas. Todd McComas.
See? It's right there.
Todd McComas.
Because it's a bigger fucking deal.
Yeah. I mean, have some respect.
What are we talking about here?
I mean, listen, do you want an explosion of flavor in your mouth or not? That's what you have to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're into mediocre barbecues with mediocre results, hanging out with mediocre people, fucking on a mediocre Saturday in some mediocre town, wearing a pair of fucking mediocre undies and a mediocre bathing suit, then never mind. This ain't for you.
This isn't for you because this isn't about mediocrity. It's about taking things to a next level.
Yeah. Like Donkey Kong, hopping up, getting to the next level. But except this time, we don't come down ladders. And guess what else? The fucking donkey don't get us.
He don't get us.
We just
How
keep
about
rising.
The guy in your friend group, or maybe it's a girl, depending on who you are, who always takes the party to the next level. Like that one person.
Yeah, that one person. They always the first person to introduce some new shit to the squad. Like, yo, let's just take key bumps tonight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's always something crazy. Like, every time that person shows up, you're like, oh, shit, this thing's going to go to a whole new level now. Mm-hmm. I thought we were just having a quiet little get-together, throw some stuff on the grill, drink a few beers, sit around the patio. Nope. Now, It's hookers and cocaine.
Spinning out of control, and guess what? That friend's at the wheel. No brakes. Now it's all a gas.
4-day binger.
Next thing you know,
everybody's getting fired from their job.
Everybody's fucking taking foil, putting them over the windows. We don't want no light in here, only darkness. Covered up with the foil, close the windows, close down the drapes, and let's get dark. You know what I mean? We want it to stay dark like it's one big long night for 47 to 76 hours, because there's never an actual perfect timing of 24 hours. The crackness always wears off or runs a little long.
How about that is the biggest giveaway of all time? Aluminum foil on the windows. Good God almighty. If like that, I've seen that probably a million times in my cop career, and every time I would laugh. I'm like, nice. You might as well just put a sign on the top of your roof that says, we're dealing or manufacturing drugs up in here.
Bad stuff's going on here, guys. Go ahead and send a team over. Start surveillance.
Better start surveillance right now. There's shit going on in here we don't want anybody to see. And we think if we use aluminum foil, it fools your FLIRs that can see through walls and get heat signatures.
And the funny part is the people with those foil windows, anytime any kind of relatively close police cars behind them, no matter what shape.
Like,
buddy, quit looking
eye.
Back, dude. They know, man. Your parents are scared.
What are you
Play
doing?
Play it cool, man. Look straight. You can't control what they do.
Why are you hanging 27 air fresheners from your rearview mirror? The cop's going to know as soon as he peeps his head in the window.
You can't have a whole forest of those little buddies in there.
Yes, you can't smell the drugs in the car anymore, but you're also telling that cop there are definitely drugs inside that vehicle.
Hey, you might as well just put foil in your fucking car windows, dummy. All the way around, bro. Just drive off of pure fucking memory and luck.
We used to call the guy that would hang like 27 air fresheners from his rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. We used to call it the felony forest.
Felony forest. That is so good, dude.
It was all the air freshener trees.
I love that little insight from the police side of what you do.
Yeah.
Of what you did in your life. No, I'll never, ever know that. I could have never known that from anybody but a cop that has been there for a while that has just seen these same dummies with fucking 36 of those trees and they're trying to cover their shit up.
The felony forest.
That's beautiful.
I forgotten about it until we started talking about it. It popped in my head. I'm writing it down. The felony forest.
That's a good one, dude.
What were some other big giveaways that dummies would do? Definitely there was the aluminum foil on the windows, the air freshener.
Oh, also the cracked, the blinds that were busted up because they're always fucking looking for the cops to come and shit. The paranoid neighborhoods, are they either foil or they have the blinds that are all cracked up and busted.
Good point, because they're always running to him in a hurry.
There he is again, Karen. You know what I mean? That type of shit. Fucking thinking the cops are always in there. And look around the neighborhood and shit. What's going on? What the fuck is Mr. Johnson doing over there? And, you know, like, they're all fucked up, bro.
That's hilarious. It's so true. There's never been a person who has fucked up blinds like that who doesn't have a bunch of drugs in their house.
No, because no one's that paranoid.
No.
Jesus, no one thinks that the whole world is coming after them, bro.
Right.
But I'll say that the paranoia is fucking, it could be a big deal. Like, when it comes to law enforcement, When I was driving dirty as fuck when I was in L.A., like year 2 and 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I was on the run from the repo man for 2 years. No one knew. You didn't know where I lived. I didn't have insurance for at least a year. My tags were like 2 years out of date. And my license was always cool, but I mean, you couldn't ride more dirty, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Than I rode. And I was scared, bro. I used to move my car around, hide at different places because I thought they found it wrong to me. I used to think fools were following me on the freeway. Like, it was,
wow.
It was a paranoid life for a few years, dude, in L.A. Just trying to survive any job I can get, dude.
That's stressful.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, that was, I rode, and then finally I just had to let it go, bro. I was like, I can't do it anymore. And I fucking gave it back. I told the guy, he goes, we've been looking for you. I don't know if I already told you this story, did I?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. And I had, this is right when MySpace, you started to post on the shows you'd be on, right?
Uh-huh. Well,
so right when that started happening, I didn't even think about the fucking repo man might just jump on MySpace, you know? And I was auditioning for the Latino Laugh Festival in like 2007 in L.A. It was at the Ha Ha Comedy Club in North Hollywood.
Nice.
And I passed and I got on and I was all happy. And then when I talked to the repo dude like a couple of days later, I called to give him the car. He goes, man, we could have took that car on Wednesday. We were at your show, bro. We were just so fucking happy for you. We didn't take it. And then I was like, that's the nicest thing I ever heard, bro. And I gave the car back like 2 days later.
That's awesome. What if you would have bombed? He would have taken your car.
Yeah, we'd taken my car and bombed. Rightfully so, you know? But I remember that, dude. He was like, dude, we've been looking for you for years. I was like, sorry, bro. I tried, man.
That's
I remember when I first started going negative and I got this job and I had that production job. And I ended up making like $4,000 when I was in the Caribbean with my boss. And I was like, I get my car back. Like, I'll catch up on payments. I'm going to be good again. And then when I got home, it got towed in the fucking Hermosa Beach town.
Oh.
And I had to pay like $2,000 in like towing fees and hold dates because I was gone for 3 weeks. And they towed it right when I left. And some parking tickets. So then I had to spend all the money I was going to use to get back at the truck. On the fucking just to get it back.
Oh, so I just had a ride.
I rode dirty for a couple more years, Todd.
Damn, dude, that's stressful, man.
My move was to hold down let the fucking tailgate down to cover the plates.
Mm.
And then I had a towel that I kind of drug out of underneath, like it was like just happened to be dangling over the month or the year.
Yeah.
Of the license. You know what the fucked up part is? I was driving dirty a couple years, about a few years later when shit didn't go so well again. Mm-hmm. And I had a guy go, bro, I work at a dealership. I'll just get you dealer tags.
Nice. I was like,
why didn't I think of that, bro?
Booyah.
I can't believe I didn't fucking think of dealer tags.
Loophole.
So I put dealer tags on this car and rode around for like 2 years, dude.
Nice.
At least. And then one day I was at LAX and I had just dropped off Gene Pompa. He was going to some gigs. He lived with us for a little, like he would live with us a few days a week. And a motorcycle cop pulled me over after I pulled away from dropping him off. And they impounded my shit. And I had to take whatever I had in there in that car. And I fucking took that stuff, whatever I could take with me. And I had to go to the train. I got on the little shuttle that took me out to the fucking train. That took me to the hour and a half ride home on the train. And my car, I never saw that car again.
God, dude.
Because you know what they do? They calculate the value of the car versus how much you owe them in towing and storage fees.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're up to $3,000, the car's worth $3,000. They sell off the car at auction, keep the money. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah.
They literally steal your car and fucking get you. They pay themselves.
That's how they make most of their money.
That's a fucking racket, dude.
Yeah. That's just stressful, man. I get it because I, like in my life, it was stressful like that too because I was having to do all this meal planning.
Yeah, dude.
And grocery shopping.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's so stressful planning meals and having to actually go to a grocery and pick out the things for those meals.
I remember your anxiety was through the roof.
It was through the roof, dude. And then finally, just when I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. I think I'm going to just completely give up eating. And that's when I found HelloFresh.
What a glorious time in your life. Tell us about the beginning of that.
Listen, I mean, I was to the point. I was like, I'm going to give up eating. I'm just not going to eat. I'm just going to have – I'm going to pay for a visiting nurse to come to put an IV in me to get all my nutrients that way. I'm not going to do any physical eating anymore. And just because it's so stressful having to plan these meals and shop for them. And then, you know, I was online trying to find a visiting nurse in my area.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this ad. You know, sometimes, you know, Google knows what you're thinking about mm-hmm. or because you've said things. And it popped up an ad for HelloFresh. And I was like, oh, what is this? And I was like, holy shit. So I can enjoy cooking and getting dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less?
Well, you're talking like pre-measured ingredients with mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door, right, Todd?
Yes, by a chef. And we're talking about eating healthier and easier with low-cal, carb-smart, vegetarian, and pescatarian options every week if that's what you're into. And no matter what you choose, every single recipe is packed with fresh produce sourced directly from farmers.
Hello, farmers. The direct from the farmer. You're cutting down on grocery bills, guys. You're saving up to 40% instead of shopping at a local store. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying. That's what I do, Todd. I overbuy a lot.
I overbuy a lot, and that just adds to the stress because you're like, oh, now I got all these food. You know, these onions are going to go bad in my drawer and smell
like
farts.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And that, see, that's what you're doing, though. You're easing the burden on the planet. You know what I mean? And guess what else? And your wallet, Todd.
Oh, yeah, and your wallet. I mean, HelloFresh's Fresh Eats offers a ton of quick and easy meal solutions, like 10 to 20 minute meals. I'm talking quick, dude. 10 to 20 minutes. I mean, that's nothing of a day. Low prep recipes and quick breakfasts or lunch. Perfect for your busy schedule. If you're like us, you're a very busy person. You don't have
time. On the go. On the move.
To just be planning meals all the time and shopping. So do yourself a favor and rely on the expertise of a chef who's ready to just plan your meals for you. Send them to you ready to cook with all the instructions you need so you can't possibly screw it up. That's what I do.
It's just a big deal when now that I'm using HelloFresh, you know, like just the fact that I could cut my grocery bill all close to in half, Todd, up to 40%. I mean, that's a monster situation.
Because you're only dealing with ingredients that are going to go directly into the meal that you're going to make.
Yep.
And ultimately in your mouth. They're not going to rot in your fridge. They're not going to go bad. You're not going to throw them away. There's zero waste. And I'm going to recommend one meal to you right now. The pan-seared strip steaks and rosemary butter sauce.
Butter sauce.
To die for.
Me and my lady just cooked that one, I think, a few weeks ago. I am telling you, she fell in love. She dove into the menu after that and was just excitedly looking through all of the HelloFresh amazing seasonal options, Todd.
I mean, it's very fun for a couple because you get it and you split duties on who's going to fix what, and you do it together, and you love each other, and at the end, you kiss and you eat an awesome meal. I mean, it's like it's better than any marriage counseling or relationship counseling out there. So what's the deal, you guys are asking?
Well, here's I'll tell you.
Tell them, Sean.
You go to HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing10, and you use code GunsBlazing10, that's GunsBlazing10, for 10 free meals, including shipping, Todd.
What?
Including shipping.
10 free meals. No, this has never happened before. This is a once-in-a-lifetime offer. 10 free meals if you use our code GUNSBLAZING10, GUNSBLAZING10. Let's go. HelloFresh.com/GUNSBLAZING10 for 10 free meals, including free shipping.
This is a big deal. This isn't a little deal, okay? We're talking about America's number one meal kit, okay? And I'm telling you guys, I've been trying it. HelloFresh recently, and I'm telling you, I personally have no idea what took me so long. I'm the $20 chef, Todd.
You're the $20 chef. And it's taking you this long to catch on. But you know what? There's a lot on the internet, man. Sometimes it takes a while to get around to you. Well, here it is. You guys don't have to wait. We're just giving it to you right now, and we're throwing in 10 free meals with free shipping in the process.
So 10 free meals.
If you don't take advantage of this, you're just an idiot.
You're a dummy. You're a goofball.
You know what?
You're wacko.
There's nothing we can do for you.
Go
ahead and plan
the
meals yourself. Go grocery shopping.
Nutty.
Like it's 1950.
That's HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing10 for 10 free meals and free shipping.
I'll say this, too, about we were talking about police work and the crazy like giveaways or whatever. There was also a routine that this never failed. When they asked me to work weekend post command, when you're a detective, you have to come in on weekends, like one weekend a month, and work the midnight shift and answer phones. And you would get these calls every freaking time from what you would learn later, the same cast of characters. And like there was this little old lady that would call, And I would say, I would answer the phone and say, Indiana State Police, Detective McComas, how can I help you? And she'd go, the CIA are watching me through my television. And I was like, what? She's like, the CIA are watching me through my television. They're entering my brain. And I'm like, okay. So I would listen to her for about 10 or 15 minutes about everything that they're doing to her. Oh, yeah. And then I would say, you know what you could do? Like, I could send a couple officers out there and look and confiscate your TV and look at it, but then you're not going to have your TV to watch your shows. And she was like, well, I don't want that. I just want them to quit watching me through the TV. And I was like, if you make a hat out of an aluminum foil, like a boat-shaped hat, and you keep that on your head, they can't read your mind. They might be able to see you, but big deal. They're not able to read your mind and tell what you're thinking. So they're going to want to stop going through your TV, and they're going to move on to somebody else's. And she was like, well, that's a great idea. I'll try it. And didn't hear from her ever again. I had solved her life's biggest problem with aluminum foil.
What a good guy you are, dude. You solved this lady's problem. How often did she call? That she finally stopped.
Oh, she was a regular. All of us knew her. All of us, we were like, hey, did you get a call from Alice today or whatever her name was? No, no. Well, it was probably going to come on your shift then. And then that you would just expect it to come. Bro. And I ended it with right there with just, I took something from the police world that always made me laugh when I saw it, aluminum foil on people's windows. And I was like, you know what? This, I could turn this into something that changes Alice's life for the better. From here, from this point on.
And you did.
And I did.
Now, the fact that you had this old lady walking around her neighborhood with a fucking tin hat on is a whole other story. I mean, did you make her better or worse? Was this story a good ending for the guys down at the fucking midnight phone watch? Or for old Agnes walking around fucking Brahma Lane with a foil hat on? Next thing you know, it's like a Better Call Saul's brother. And you got the whole fucking house, foiled up while you're ripping the electrical out of your walls.
I don't think it would have probably changed people's opinion of her. But they probably were like, oh, finally, she's wearing an aluminum foil hat.
Yeah.
So how did it take so long?
Well, she goes. She went to the best store ever for people. Like, imagine if you're the neighbor and you just see this woman walk around, you're like, Jesus Christ, she's actually wearing the hat.
Do you think she got better at it too as time went on and she actually made like pretty good looking hats? After
like nicer hats?
Yeah.
I bet she really started to customize them and shit. Going the full sailboat hat, you know what I mean?
A good,
crisp, unwrinkled piece of foil up top, you know what I mean?
Because if you think about it, you put enough layers on there and you like mold it from an actual hat. Like, say I have a cowboy hat and I just wrap it with layers real tight of aluminum foil and then I take the hat out, I'm going to have the shape of a cowboy hat there.
Well, what if you leave the cowboy hat on as like the layer almost, like the inside?
Even better. Oh, look at these aluminum foil hats.
Look at those foil hats. Those are nice, Jerry. Look at these good tin foil hats for sale, bro. Everybody has a common kind of themed face that wears this hat.
A crazy
they all
face.
Kind of got the fucking look on their head like they just they're just a little bit out of touch.
But it keeps the aliens and whoever else from reading your thoughts. So, you know what? You suffer fashion a little bit for the better good. I mean,
it's worth the suffer.
What's more important, that you look good out in public or that you keep the CIA and aliens from reading your brains?
I mean, I got to go with the latter on that, Todd.
Yeah, me too.
I'm fucking pumped for Wichita.
Wichita, Kansas,
coming in hot. March 18, 19, 20. No, March 19, 20. But we will be there. No, March 18, 19, 20, because we got our show at the Looney Bin, March 18th, 10:30 show.
Get on to gunsblazingpodcast.com and get the ticket link. If you live anywhere near there, you're going to want to come to that show. It's a 10:30 p.m. show on a Thursday, so there's no rules. We can do whatever we want, so it's going to get wild up in there. And then we're there because of the American Cornhole League. We're doing shit with them again, and we're going to be there all weekend, and we didn't have anything to do that night, so we were like, fuck it, let's throw a show.
Yeah, we're going to do a show the night before, lead into the weekend, do a little stand-up, have some fun the night before, go into the Cornhole Weekend. We have our own courts this tournament. We have the Guns Blazing Podcast Cornhole Courts. That will be us doing a broadcast live with some pros, but it's our show, so it's not going to be all nice and professional. We're going to be fucking around having a great time with these amazing, amazing cornhole players.
We have been given permission to throw whatever obstacles in the way of these professionals to try to throw them off the game as we want.
Yeah.
So we're going to really run these teams through the ringer. Like,
we're
I don't
some
know.
Fun. We're
they might have to balance
bit.
Chainsaws. While they throw bags, we don't know. Whatever we can legally get by with,
yeah,
it's going to pop off.
And I'm pumped. And we, you know, for us to team up with the ACL, the American Cornhole League, to get to do commentary, get to play, listen. People don't understand the rivalry that's starting to really bud here at these tournaments. But it's a real inner podcast rivalry between Todd and. You know, Uncle Todd and $20 Chef. We're going heads
heated.
Up. It gets heated. I mean, sometimes a little pushing and shoving going on. And we're going heads up. We're going to be there. We're going to be on some broadcasts. We're going to be hanging out with these pros. We're going to have our own court. We're going to have the Guns Blazing Podcast court. And that I'm excited. We're going to have some live stuff. It's going to be a great weekend. And it's kicking off with the show at the Looney Bin. Probably won't even be any tickets because all the guys are going to buy them from the ACL. So if you can get tickets, if you're in Wichita, grab them now. Go to the website because otherwise they're going to be gone in like 3 days.
Come on. Get your tickets. It's going to be a good time. I don't know that I've ever spent any time in Wichita. I think I've driven through Wichita, but I've never really spent any time there. So this is going to be fun, I think. There's cool shit to do there, I think.
It's another great Midwestern town. You know what I mean? It's just another good place. A lot of good food, probably good people, and some good cornhole players. Now, listen, can anybody in that town that's not a professional fuck with me and you? No. Mm-mm. Wichita, bring your finest. You're going to get smoked by me and Uncle Todd as a team. Listen, do we have a heated rivalry? Yes. But do we also know that if you're not on the top 252 pro list, do you stand a chance against us? No, because guess who's the number 253 and 54th best person? Todd and myself.
That's it. Oh, you guys can also come to the Cornhole events if you want. If you go to iplaycornhole.com, look up the Wichita event and get on there. I think they're gonna admit maybe like
10% capacity at that arena. So the 2,000 people are going to be allowed in max.
Yeah, it's on the university campus, so make sure that you act fast. They don't have a lot of tickets, but you'll be able to see us, hang out with us, see why all kind of cool shit's going on and watch the best in the world throw bags. It's fucking awesome.
It is so much fun. That means that they're going to have some nice vendors there this time, Todd. Maybe we can get some new bags.
Let's go.
Maybe get some fun cornhole gear. You know, just supporting our new venture all the way, but definitely. And also, if you're a cornhole person, you want to see people really go at it, get the ACL app. Cool. It's the easiest $4.99 I spend.
It's so good, dude. Just get your vitamins. Lay back. You can watch that shit for hours. Get you some 3-Chi in ya. Lay back and watch some cornhole because there's nothing like it. Dude, we have to come up with, well, we already got pretty good labels. Uncle Todd plays pretty good for the fucking cornhole league. Chef, $20 chef plays.
And the good news is, Todd, in a few years, you're going to qualify for the senior tournaments.
I'll own the seniors tournament. You only have to be 55.
Yeah, you got to go against Damon Dennis and fucking Jimmy McGuffin, bro. I'll take Alan Rockwell. You better slow down. Some of the best in the world are the senior homies fucking walking around punking all these young kids.
If I practice for like 3 months, I'm pretty sure I can probably be in the top 10.
Okay.
Of all of cornhole.
All the whole operation.
Yeah, yeah. I never really spend any time practicing. It just comes naturally.
Get them reps in. Well, listen, when we all end up moving to Florida, we're going to have ourselves our own little urban barn. And we're going to be in there. We're going to be fucking warming up, Todd. And then guess what? Me and you might take over the seniors doubles tournaments. You know what I mean?
We might.
I'll be 43 this year, I think. I think I'm going to be 43. And I mean, I'm approaching the 55 mark. I mean, it's going to be a few years out, you know. But you'll be there already. You'll tell me how the competition looks.
Well, and if you're good enough, you can surpass it too and just play in the open class. So
yeah.
Who cares? At that point, it's like, beat everybody my age, but who cares about that? I'm ready to play some 17-year-olds.
Jamie Graham, calm down, okay?
Bring it.
Jay Corley, relax. There's a new sheriff in town.
We're coming goes by for the, you.
Goes by the name of Guns Blazing Podcast Staff.
Let's go.
That's us.
We'll own the doubles thing with them. Fucking. By 2022, is by the time 2022 ends, we'll probably be the doubles champions.
Strong chance of that. Then we're going to go from the Joe Rogan of ACL to the Daniel Cormiers of ACL.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. This whiskey's going nice.
Yeah.
It's going down real smooth, Todd.
I drank the rest of my Screwball.
Nice.
And the bullet's
gone. Your peanut butter. Peanut butter whiskey. Was a delicious whiskey that night of the night we no one got it?
Yeah.
That was a delicious combination, dude.
I love a good sweet whiskey, but that was a little much for that. I mean, I drank damn near the whole bottle, so it was pretty much like I had just eaten a pie, kind of the same effect, mixed with being wasted.
Yeah. You were lit, bro. You yelled at your computer a little bit. That was fun to listen to because it's just like one words. Bitch.
I heard
you in here fucking getting your edit and upload on. That shit was good, bro. I just sat out there eating fucking eating those pizza and those taquitos that I made. I made way too much food, by the way.
Yeah, they were good.
I made like two of your pizzas and like a half a box of taquitos.
I heated it up all the next day.
I did my best. I bet you I ate at least one whole pizza by myself.
Oh, yeah. You put a big dent in it. Those fucking pizzas are good. Cauliflower crust pizzas.
Yeah, they're delicious.
They're fucking great. Are you kidding me? Get them at Sam's Club right now. Man, I tell you, it's just all about, you know, nothing makes me feel better than good food, I think. Like when I eat good food, I relax or whatever. And then, you know, I like to get into a zone. Maybe I get some 3G going, you know.
Maybe you want to relax your eyes a little?
Just relax my eyes, zone out. You know, I don't want any outside interference. I just want to be into what I'm watching or what I'm wanting to listen to. And I don't, you know, and I want to respect others around me. If there's other people here, my lady or whoever, then, I want them to have to listen to what I'm listening to because I know they like stupider shows that I like. You know?
That you don't really want to hear.
No, watch your stupid reality show, you know, while I watch this, you know, independent film that won 3 awards in Canada at film festivals.
Yeah.
So I'll put in my Raycon wireless earbuds.
Oh, Sean. Talk about you just get to zone out and just lock into your favorite podcast or audio book or you know, one of your favorite playlists. You know what I mean, Tom?
Oh yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And the only way you're gonna do this is with the perfect pair of Raycons in your ears to make all the difference. Oh, that's how you want to do it.
And I guarantee the fit, too. You know this. I have weird-shaped ear holes.
You have those weird ears.
It's plagued me my entire life. You know, my ears, one, are too close to the side of my head. When I take a picture straight on, it looks like I don't have ears, which is
terrifying. You almost got kicked out of the Marines because of your ears.
I mean, I couldn't hold the earplugs in there. Every time I go to shoot, I move my head a little bit, they just fall right out, you know? And that's why I have hearing damage to this day. But when I put these puppies in my ears, it's not like the ones that come with your iPhone or whatever.
No.
Like these here, I can put them in there. I can shake my, like, I could be angrily shaking my head no.
You could be like, no, no, no,
no.
Or you could even be, yes, God, yes, hell yes. And guess what? It's like this. Locked in your ears, bro. Locked
not going anywhere.
In.
Secure. No dangling wires or stems to get in the way. Mm-hmm. Raycons come in a range of stylish colorways, by the way. But always with a comfortable in-ear fit for a more discreet look. You can't even tell they're in there a lot of times. Uh-uh. You know, I'll zone out for my lady, and she'll just be talking away about her stupid show, and I'll be like, like I'm listening. She thinks I'm engaged, but I'm not. I'm listening to Rogan right now because he's got some guy on there that has actually discovered evidence to prove there's Bigfoot. So,
Bigfoot.
You know, I got that going on right here, and I'm in my own world, and she doesn't know the difference. So I love that they're discreet. I love that they fit so comfortably, and I love that the sound is as good on any more expensive pair. You know, they're built to perform anywhere and any time. With water and sweat-resistant construction, I can be wearing them during a workout, Sean, during a sauna if I want to.
And, you know, a lot of people don't realize is that when it comes to a good headset, is comfort important? Yes. Is the sound important? Yes. But to me, at this point, what really almost takes the cake is that it pairs quickly and seamlessly. I'm tired of playing the Bluetooth game. These things are like, bop, bop, boop, ding, 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 link, link, link. Fuck it, I'm jamming around, listening to all my favorite tunes, Todd.
Oh, it's connecting to some other device in the backyard. I mean, what the fuck? You know, come on, Raycon figured out. Why can't everybody else? And the best part, it makes great sound accessible to everyone. With wireless earbuds starting at half the price of other premium audio brands.
And we're talking about enough battery life for 6 hours of play.
Who's doing that?
6 hours. You could almost fly to goddamn London without having to charge these things.
That's what we're talking about. I mean, it's just, they're the best.
I think you actually can get to London with these if you leave New York. At least JFK, from what I'm concerned, maybe Newark, Liberty International, all the way to London. One run, guess who's still got battery life when they land?
I can drive from my house to Chicago and then back home again on one continuous listen. The battery's
you could take
still
an Uber.
Good.
You could take an Uber, and then that guy has his own shit on. You're like, nah, man, I'll do my own thing back here with my Raycons, you know? And then you're like, oh, yeah. And the guy's like, oh, sure, buddy. It's a six-hour ride. And you're like, huh. Joke's on you, asshole.
Got it. Raycon's offering 15% off all their products for our listeners, and here's what you've got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/gunsblazing. That's buyraycon.com/gunsblazing. That's it. That's all you got to do.
That's it.
You get 15% off your entire Raycon order, so feel free to grab a pair and a spare if you want. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/gunsblazing, buyraycon.com/gunsblazing. But we have such good products on here.
Hook
what
up
the fuck?
City on the... Come I on. Mean, I we definitely somehow hit the jackpot with the people who advertise on our podcast.
I know. You know what I think it is? Because all the people have cool products. Our people are cool as fuck to listen to this.
Yep.
So they're perfectly in sync. Our people use the codes, and they're like, oh, we want to keep coming back.
You know,
it's a win-win.
I can see myself right now with my Raycons in my ear, with my HelloFresh, making a little bit of dinner, listening to our podcast, all at the same time, kid.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever had up your butt?
Oh, man, tough one. There's a lot of things. A lampshade one time was a tough push.
Damn it. Really?
It was a smaller one, but it wasn't a walk in the park.
I know
park.
The ones you're talking about. Yeah. I've seen them at like the antique stores and stuff.
Yeah.
But still, geez.
The colored stained glass and whatnot.
Mm.
You have to be really precise, you know, real delicate. But it can be done. Obviously, I'm here telling you right now.
Nice.
How about
mine, probably one of those IQ test games from Cracker Barrel.
Oh yeah, that's a tough one, dude.
Yeah, I was.
Did you with the sticks? Did they all stay in place?
Yeah, except one. Like I almost had it solved too, but one of the golf tees got turned sideways, and
what are you gonna do?
Couldn't get it. So when I got it, I'd actually completed it, but there was one extra hole not filled. So
that's quite the flex, you know. Somebody's like, I can tie this cherry stem with my tongue, and you're like, yeah, I can solve the little puzzle in the Cracker Barrel in my asshole.
That's what nice. I was shooting for. I mean,
that's what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's a conversation
man.
Ender. Like, again. That's a trumper.
Again, people are out here on fucking cruise control. Well, guess what? Some of us are putting it in four low and taking the hard route. Okay? Friends.
We're digging deep. We're kicking it into four wheel low.
Yep.
We're going off the mainstream paved road. We're taking our own route through the grass, over the hill, through the woods, hitting the trails.
Several bodies of water.
There. We don't give a fuck.
Several bodies of water.
You just can't stop us.
I mean, listen, I go so fast that when my boots get wet, I don't even have time for my socks to dry.
That's what I heard.
I'm fucking moving and shaking, bro.
That's what I heard.
You saw me.
I saw you.
That's why we roll together, because we're both on the fucking move, dude.
I've seen you jog on the beach without leaving any footprints.
And you know what? You did. You were there when I did that move.
Mm-hmm.
People couldn't believe it. I remember a few people had started to kneel in front of me thinking I was such the prodigal son.
Right. Yeah.
And I said, I'm not the prodigal son. But you know what? The prodigal son never knew he was the prodigal son until he was whatever afterwards when he was gone or whatever.
Yeah. If you get on Clubhouse, there's still a form. There's a cult of people that still follow. They don't even know it's Sean. No. They knew there was a guy that came here and jogged across the beach and left no footprints. And that's the name of their cult. It's called the Followers of the Guy Who Came Here and Ran Across the Beach and Left No Footprints.
And guess what?
Cult.
I'm going to show up to that group one time. I'm going to tell them all my name is Magnum P.I. I'm Magnum P.I., the prodigal son. That's my friend Higgins. That's T.C. That's my Ferrari. That's my chopper. And those are my Dobermans. For bonus points, what's my Doberman's name?
Ooh.
Nobody knows. Forgot that one.
Zeus. One of them was Zeus, right?
Oh, no way. I'm breaking character for this one. Jared, tell us, please, what Magnum P.I.'s Dobermans were named.
If one of them is named Zeus, then that came from my childhood brain, then that's a fucking, I mean, that's the greatest pull I've ever made in my life.
Zeus and Apollo.
Oh my God.
You fucking know Magnum P.I.'s goddamn Doberman's name.
Dude, how did I know Magnum P.I.'s Doberman's name? Wow. I don't even know. I don't even know how I know that.
I'm going to be honest. That might fucking warrant a call from Tom Selleck himself as a guest. If we're going to tag Tom Selleck on this, bro. And I'm going to, you know, Tom Selleck, this is all fucking impromptu, man. We're not one of these people that pretend. Okay? Everything on this podcast is legit, especially this part. This was actually legit as fuck.
How did I know that?
Fucking Todd pulled it out of his ass. And I'll tell you right now, that's how influential you were, Tom Selleck, man. We love you, buddy.
Oh. You're not kidding. Half the time, I can't even come up with the names of the major characters in TV shows that I loved.
But you knew the Doberman and Magnum P.I., dude.
What
a pull. You deserve a trophy of some sort.
I'm numb right now. I'm actually in shock. I think we're done here. I mean, I don't know that I'll ever accomplish anything greater than that in my life.
You're not, Todd.
Here's to one last toast. Here's to Zeus and Apollo. The best goddamn TV dogs in history.